I'm not used to this thing.
Well, before I start, I'd like to pray because I always get nervous when I'm up here, so I would like to start with prayer. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity to share your word with your people. I just ask that you open hearts and minds to what you have to say, and even for myself, Lord, just open my heart and my mind to what you have to say through your word. And Lord, we just ask that we can just go out and practice what you have to say to us, and we just lift it all up to you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And as I was going over my sermon last night, I realized probably half the people in this congregation don't know who I am. It's changed a lot. I don't know who half you are. So here's a little synopsis of Robert Grimes. I grew up in Cuba, New York. I grew up in this church, as Megan said. Woo! Yes. There's one! I am the oldest, don't forget, the oldest son of Lenny and Pat Grimes. Don't listen to my mom. I am a twin, but I am the oldest, so I am the boss. Okay. I grew up in this church, like I said. Ed Rothfuss was one of my youth pastors, and I thank God for him and the impact he had on my life. I graduated from Cuba Rushford, first class of Cuba Rushford Central School in 92. Went into the military, moved down south, moved back up here in 2000, went to this church again, ministered with the worship team, which I promise I will come back to again, because I am a bass player and I enjoy that. I ended up getting married to my beautiful, lovely wife, Tammy. I have two wonderful children, 8 and 7, Zach and Taylee. Taylee's a blonde-haired girl who loves to dance. Zach is the 7-year-old missing 2 front teeth, glasses, and runs around a lot. A lot, yes. Went to Davis College back in 2004. Pastor John preached here for 1 week. I picked up my family and left. It wasn't because of Pastor John. In 2008, I graduated from Davis College. I got God's call into the ministry, full-time ministry. Ended up coming back to this area for that at Olean First Baptist Church. And as of November, I am unemployed. So here I am. I've been worshiping here for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And that's a little bit of who I am. If you want to know more, you can ask the cards. You can ask my parents. You can ask Lucy. Yeah, maybe you don't want to know me. I don't know. Okay, we'll leave it at that. You can ask Tim Sorter. I went to high school with Tim. And it's good to see him and worship with him. So, with that, I was at my house one day, just a few weeks ago. I think it was after the first week I was here, actually. And there's a knock at the door. I open it, and there's Pastor John standing there. I thought, uh-oh. So I said, come on in. He said, I just want to talk to you for about a half an hour. You got a microwave? Sure. I want to fill up my mug of coffee. Not cup, but mug, you know. So as we were warming up, he says, how do you feel about preaching? I said, I'm good with it. I've done it before. He said, how would you feel about preaching January 2nd for me? I said, okay, that's fine. And I knew exactly what sermon I was going to preach at that moment. A sermon I preached before. Great for the new year. It's on priorities. What are your priorities? How can they change? You know, we need to keep God first. But I didn't tell him that. That was going through my head. So we got to talk, and like I said, he wanted to talk to me for about a half an hour. An hour and a half later, towards the end of the conversation, I looked at Pastor John. I said, I know exactly what sermon I'm going to preach, by the way. He says, no, you don't. Yeah, I do. He says, you're not going to preach that sermon. I said, it was a good one, too. Come on. Spoils all the fun. He says, I will give you the topic and the verses you're going to preach on a week before you preach it. He says, I don't want to give you a lot of time. Okay. And I said yes, not thinking, my brother's going to be here this whole week before I preach. What am I going to do? I got it done. So, and yes, I am still nervous. Anyway, let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read 22 through 24. And I know the little, what do we call it, third of a piece of paper, bulletin, says Colossians 3:23, but I'm going to read 22 through 24 because I think they all go together. So I'll wait a second so you guys can get there. Is everybody there? No? Now I am reading from the New American Standard Bible, so it might be a little different than yours. Starting with verse 22. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Work. My wife was trying to help me out with an illustration, and she found a book. It's called Ask Him Anything, God Can Handle Your Hardest Questions. It was written by Lloyd J. Ogilvie back in 1981. So remember, this is 81. Chapter 18. Starts out with this. On average, Americans work in their lifetime 150,000 hours. Now, I like math, so I did the math on that, and I took average American graduates high school at 18. Average American maybe retires at 65, right? So there's 47 years in that. So you take that, do the math, 52 weeks in a year, an average American works 61 hours per week. 61 hours, that's a lot. And then the author goes on to say, other Americans who start earlier working, retire later in life, doesn't take a lot of holidays, a lot of vacations, works 200,000 hours in their lifetime. I figured that out based on the 61 hours per week. You know how many years that is? It's almost 63 years of their life made up of work. So if you started at 16 working, you'd end at 79. I'm not going to ask who's 79 in here or lower, because, yeah. I don't want to work till I'm 79. I know that. But can you imagine 61 hours per week on average? Why do I say this? An average American has 47 years to glorify God in their workplace. And that's what I want to bring forth today is honoring God in your workplace. Now, first thing, well, I want to look at Colossians 3:23, because that's what John gave me. It says, whatever you do. There's 3 points to this verse, and I split the verse up into 3 sections. Whatever you do is the first one. Do your work diligently heartily is the second. And the third is, as for the Lord rather than for men. So the first thing I'm going to look at is whatever you do. What does that mean? What did that mean to me when I read it? One word, work. Work. And how do we do that? Well, with our hands. But how do you find out what work you want to do? Well, first thing is, find your passion. What are you passionate about? Me, as a teenager growing up, I looked at all kinds of stuff late in my later high school years, and I'm passionate about ministry. I love the ministry. I love working in the ministry. Through my teenage years, I looked at the ministry. I looked at my pastor, and I said, what in the world does he does for 40 hours a week? And I think at some point we all have that question. What does our pastor do for 40 hours? Now I know. He does a lot of stuff. As a kid, I always think, he preaches for 30 minutes on Sunday. It takes him 40 hours a week to learn all that stuff? To do all that? Well, as you learn, you know, he does visitations. He does other stuff. Growing up, as a teenager, I looked at the youth ministry. I looked at what Ed does. I don't know how many of you remember Willie Thompson. I looked at all my youth leaders and I thought, that would be an awesome ministry. Not only do I get to see kids' lives changed, but I get to go to camp. I get to ride roller coasters. Sleepovers, well, right now as I'm feeling, you know, not so much, but you know, as a teenager, overnighters are awesome. My passion was in ministry, and more focus in youth ministry. And I really felt the calling in December of 1990. December 26th, myself and about a dozen other kids from this church went to Cincinnati to a youth convention. And it was kids from all over the states were there. The last night of the convention, the speaker was speaking about basically your passion. Basically, if you feel God's call into the ministry. And that's where I really felt God's call into the ministry. It's more specifically youth ministry. So I knew what God called me to do into the ministry. So after I graduated high school, I went into the military. Military, ministry, same thing? No. So in my walk in life, I've done a lot of things in the ministry. I worked with children. And I'll tell you what, children has got to be the hardest ministry there is. Take my word for it. And then I got into the music ministry where I learned to play bass. That didn't happen. When I moved back here, I felt God's call again into the ministry. And I actually went to college to actually be a pastor. And about halfway through my first semester, I felt God changing it to youth ministry. Now, when I talked to Pastor John, he says, I see you as a solo pastor, like he is here. And I look at him and just think, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea. But that, find your passion. God has given us gifts. And he's given you a passion for something. And now if you're like me, at this point, I'm unemployed. What do? Find a job. I'm passionate about ministry. But at this point, I don't feel an alarming push to go into the ministry right now. I feel like God is calling me here to worship. So what do? Just find a job and work passionately in that job, wherever it may be. I looked up some verses about work last night. And I think they're really interesting for us to look at. I'm just going to read them off to you. Most of them are in Proverbs, and I like Proverbs. It gives a lot of wisdom. Proverbs 10:4 says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 12:11 says, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits has no sense. Proverbs 16:26, and I like this one. It says, a worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. So for me, that tells me I need to work to eat. If I'm hungry, I need to get a job. Proverbs 28:29 sounds a lot like 12:7. He who tills the land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits, and here's where it's different, will have plenty of poverty. And then 1 Thessalonians 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this command. If anyone will not work, let him not eat. You don't work, you don't eat. I guess I'm not interesting enough. You have to make a phone call, don't you? Just kidding. Whatever you do, work. Find your passion. And if you don't have work, find work and work passionately in it. The second part of that verse, do your work heartily. It says, don't be a sloth. How many of you have ever been to a zoo and seen a sloth? You ever seen it move? No. Well, I looked up sloth in the New World Encyclopedia. And it does move. It moves very slowly. Can anybody guess how slow it moves? 5 feet per minute. I can't walk that slow to show you. I don't have that in me. Now, he does move a little faster when he's in immediate danger. 15 feet per minute. Wow. Or we could be said that at his regular speed, it's 17.6 hours per mile. And when he's in danger, it's 5.9 hours per mile. I'm not a very patient driver, so that would really annoy me. The sloth, we have this concept that he sleeps 23 hours a day. New World Encyclopedia says he sleeps just under 10 hours a day. Must be when everybody's visiting because nobody ever sees him move. Also, a sloth. The fur on the sloth grows algae. That's how slow a sloth moves. And it is also home to numerous insects. Yuck is right. Yeah. This tells me we cannot be complacent in our workplace, no matter what our job. I had a job one time in Rome, Georgia, around Atlanta, at a factory called Z-Bird. It does a lot of chicken stuff, chicken breasts, chicken fries, all different kind of things. And my job was quality control. It was standing in one place about yay big and checking temperature of the chicken coming out of the oven every 10 minutes. Three pieces of chicken, checking the temperature. How long does it take to check three pieces of chicken temperature? Probably about 2 minutes. So now I've got 8 minutes left to stand there and watch chicken roll out of the oven. Not very exciting. I did that for about a month. But in that time, and my wife is laughing at me. It's always a good sign. In that month, when there was nothing going on in my line, because there were times where there was no chicken coming out, I went down to the other QC people that had a different job, and I learned their job. Within a month, there was an opening for a job like his, and I got it. Because I had taken the time and not been complacent in my job and just stood there when nothing was going on or gone into the office, I learned something else. And the job was to keep track of three lines, weight, temperature, every 15 minutes, let the people know if the weight needs to go up or down. So I got promoted with a small raise. But I wasn't complacent in my job. It's interesting to me that the verse above, verse 23, is talking about slaves. And we've read it already. I want to read it again, except I want to, instead of saying slaves, put in the word employees. And instead of masters, employers. So here it is. Employees, in all things, obey those who are your employers. On earth, not with external service, as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. It says not only with external service, so that you can please him when he's around, when he says, okay, I want you to do this, and he's standing right there. But when your boss comes and says, I want you to do this, and walks away, that means he trusts you enough to get done what needs to be done. That means you need to do it. Not grumbling, not complaining, I can't believe he's letting me do this, having me do this, and I get no help, but do it. With a joyful heart saying, thank you, Lord, for my job. Thank you that you are providing for me and my family. A joyful heart. Work heartily. Work as hard as you can so that others may see. So others might come to you and say, hey, what is different about you? We have a lot of time. Just to warn you, the first sermon I did was here at North Park on December 2nd, 2001. It was 45 minutes long or longer. I can't remember. Today won't be that long. I promise. I think. It's a good thing I didn't hear that. I looked up some more verses on being slothful in the Bible. And both the verses I found come from Proverbs again. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slothful will be put to forced labor. And that just tells me, if you work diligently, then you'll be fine. But if you're very slothful in your job, it will feel like forced labor. It will feel like your boss is forcing you to do things that you don't want to do because of your attitude. I've had jobs where I don't like them. And I'll admit, I did complain and grumble until somebody told me, hey, be be joyful. You're working for God, not for them. My whole attitude changes. Okay, I'll do this. Thank you, God, for this job. I'll do it. The second one was Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. If you're slothful, you crave things, but you don't work to the best of your ability, you don't get anything. You don't get joy out of your work. You don't get joy out of life. You may get fired, and then you definitely will get nothing. Whatever you do, work. Do your work heartily. Don't be a sloth. And the third thing, as for the Lord rather than for men. Isn't that what it's all about? Have a servant's heart. Have a servant's heart. Because we, as Christians, are God's servants. We are also His children. But we are His servants. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. It says, whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do. Think about that word all. What does all mean? It means everything that you do. Everything, whether it's eat or sleep, like the Bible says, work, play, do all to the glory of God. Why? Well, verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. That's why. We work here on earth. We have a pension plan. Some of us think it's great. Some of us think maybe it's not that great. But the pension plan of working for the Lord does not compare to what we have here on earth. I mean, when we pass away from this life, our pension plan, what's it going to look like? Jesus said, I go and prepare a mansion for you in heaven. A mansion. I couldn't imagine having a mansion here on earth, not with a pension plan. We'll be with God 24 hours a day for eternity in His presence, worshiping Him. How much better can life be? As I was working on this, I thought of an example. I was trying to think of an example of a person. And I finally came up, the closest I could was Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph. How his brother sold him into slavery. Potiphar bought him. And he worked as a slave. But he did it as unto the Lord. He worked as hard as he could in a land that he didn't know, in a man that he didn't know. And he was rewarded. He was put in charge of Potiphar's house. Until, as we all know, he was put in jail for something he didn't do. But even when he was in jail, he worked hard. He was found favorably in the person in charge of the jail's eyes. So he's put in charge. And then he interpreted dreams for the cupbearer and the baker. And then the cupbearer told Pharaoh about his interpreting dreams. And he was promoted to second in command of Egypt. Through Joseph's all of hard work, he was promoted to second in command of Egypt, saved his family, saved the Israelites at that time. We need to remember that we do not work for men, we work for God. And that's what all this is about. Bottom line is we work for the Lord no matter where we work. We have 47 years on average to glorify God where we work. And that includes stay-at-home moms. Moms, you have a chance to glorify God to your children. 47 years on earth is a long time. I can't stand the thought of working 47 years. But it's all to glorify God where we work. God puts us in a place for a reason. Well, whether it be a person or a group of people, your boss, we have a chance to make a difference for God where we work and to glorify Him. Paul did it as a tent maker. Wherever he went, he didn't just scrounge off of people, go into people's houses, have them feed him and clothe him and all that. He sat down and made tents. Here's my challenge for you today. Go work wherever you work, whether you're a teacher, whether you work at Dresser Rand, wherever you work, make a difference for God. And you really don't have to say anything. It could be by example. But there may be a time where God says, okay, I want you to go talk to this person. Or I want you to go talk to that group of people. There have been times in my life, I worked at Lowe's in Vestal while I was going to school, third shift. And I tell you what, it's the hardest thing I've ever done is go to school, do homework, take care of a family, and work third shift. But there was one person there that I got along with so good. He and I could sit and talk about God. And he's not a Christian. He wanted to know more about God and my faith. So I was able to reach out to him and talk to him about that. What happened with him, I don't know. It's been years since I've seen him. But I'm hoping it made an impact. Because the Bible says, we sow the seed. God waters it. He grows it. So I'm hoping that if I don't see him here on earth, I'm hoping to see him in heaven someday. Him and his family. So we as Christians have a chance to go out into this world, to the people around us at work, that we see every day to make a difference in their lives. And we need to do that, because that's what God has called us to do. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you brought forth today. And Lord, I just pray that it might impact people today. And Lord, that we can go out and make an impact for you because of what you've done for us. And let people know, Lord, that the retirement plan after we die, if we're children of God, is a whole lot better than what's here on earth. Father, just pray that you send your people out and they can make a difference. And the people around them at work. And help us to glorify you through that. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Rob, very much. It's now time to take the offering. So if I could have some ushers, I don't know if they have been determined who they are today. If you would come up, then we will... You guys are good. Thank you very much. Father God, we ask that you would please bless our offering today, Lord, and that you would use it to further your kingdom and to make a difference, Father God. Thank you for Rob's word today, Lord, and that we need to be giving our all, Lord, and working as if for you, Lord. Help us to give to you, Lord, and help us to help this church to...